Hi, this is DJ Bennett, and this is another one of my periodic, well, I still call them rants, but it's not necessarily a rant, is it? Just some thoughts as I pass through the world today. For 10 years, I did the news here on Kill Radio, which meant that I was always cramming new news facts into my head and reading stories for that purpose. But in fact, what I was always doing was finding ways to inspire listeners to think critically, because that's really what we need in this world. We need more critical thinking. Critical thinking will alleviate much of the suffering in the world. It doesn't make things better. It just means that we accept it more rationally. Now, this morning, I was going through Twitter, and I came across from Stephen Novella on the Neurological blog an article about a conspiracy in Sandy Hook at the school that where the shootings were a couple weeks back. And that now the gun nuts who are so terrified that people think differently of them, that now they're trying to rationalize what happened at Sandy Hook and saying that this whole thing was a setup in order to remove our guns. That's what they're saying now. And they're saying that there wasn't a killer who came in and started shooting up the kids, that none of these things happened, that it's all been faked. And this wouldn't happen if these people thought critically. But hey, you know, what do you say with a gun nut? These gun nuts don't care that children are being killed. They consider being able to do whatever they want to do to be more important than anybody else's lives. The fact that they have a gun in their hands is the most important thing. Personally, at this point, I would be in favor of banning all guns, of just taking all the guns away from people, even though that would cause riots and violence and all that, and it's never going to happen. But I know that if we had fewer guns, these kinds of incidents wouldn't happen. Period. But, you know, I also have come across, thanks to a Facebook friend, some of the latest news regarding why violent crime rates have dropped over the last 20, 30 years. And it's basically being discovered, and we're talking about violent crime. We're not talking about white-collar crime. We're not talking about the rich people stealing from the poor, which is the major crime that happens in this country all the time, far more than violent crime. All right? So that's where we should really be angry. But, of course, we feel the strongest about violent crime because that means that that's one person or two people that we can take our focus on rather than an entire system that is screwing us. There's one or two guys with a gun. Those are bad guys. Kill them. That'll make the world better. Well, it turns out that because of health, because of things like the EPA, stuff that Republicans and conservatives think the government should have no say in anything like that. Well, it turns out that lead in paint and gasoline fumes has a serious detrimental effect on people. And if you go into poor neighborhoods where there's a lot of lead paint, you have a lot of violence. It turns out that lead has a direct relationship to the behavior that we have been seeing. And the fact is that starting in the 70s, lead was taken out of gasolines, taken out of paint. So suddenly, in the last, since 1980 or so, 30 years, that children are being born without this, then they're not chewing on lead paint. And those kids are not growing up to become violent offenders. So an environmental protection turns out to protect us in terms of crime, too. So when these people, all of these negative people say, well, you can't do anything to change it. People are just automatically violent. No, they're not. Once again, the responsibility is being dropped on the victim because the person whose brain is half eaten up from all the lead that he sucked, he's a victim too, even if he does commit a terrible crime for which he probably goes to jail forever or gets shot to death. But somebody else committed a crime on him. Look it up. Less lead, less crime. It's actually a direct effect. It's not ridiculous. It's real. It's a serious effect. There are multiple studies about this that show it. That makes me think that it's possible to change. Now, I want to end this by going through a list of cognitive biases that have a direct effect on our own behavior and rationality. Now, cognitive biases help us process information more efficiently, especially in dangerous situations, but they lead us to make mistakes. We are prone to errors in judgment unless we are aware of them, and there are ways that can change our flaws in thinking. We're talking about a genuine deficiency, a genuine limitation, not just possibly or a potential limitation, a genuine one. For instance, the confirmation bias. We love to agree with people who agree with us. That's why we only listen to people who think politically like we do, and we find ourselves in anger when somebody who has a different political opinion comes in. We only hang around with people who hold similar views. We're put off by individuals, groups, or news that make us feel uncomfortable or insecure. We have cognitive dissonance if we don't agree with them. So this preferential motive behavior to confirm what we already think, it actually affects the way we look at the world. Following on that, so confirmation bias, we go to in-group bias. It's similar. However, it means that while we are making tighter bonds with the people in our own in-group that we agree with, it makes us suspicious, fearful, and disdainful of others who are not in that in-group. Suddenly, we want to kill them or reduce their powers. We are afraid of their abilities. And this is an in-group bias. Then we come to glitches in thinking that have to do with, well, one way it's called the gambler's fallacy. We put a tremendous amount of weight on previous events, believing that they influence the future. Coin tossing is the best example. If you flip a coin and say you get five heads in a row, your inclination is to predict either that the next one will be heads or it has to change because it's already been five heads. But the fact is that every time you do it, the odds start over again. Doesn't count that it had five heads. It's still 50-50. The result is statistically independent of what we think it's going to be. The probability is still the same. That fuels gambling addiction, but it also affects the way we deal with, you know, hot hands in terms of how we deal with each other. It's the same feeling we get when we start a new relationship that leads us to believe it will be better than the last one. Because we don't think we're starting with zero, but we are. Now, remember the last time you bought something totally unnecessary or overly expensive and then rationalized that purchase so that you convinced yourself it was a great idea after all? That's called post-purchase rationalization. It's kind of a built-in mechanism that makes us feel better when we make crappy decisions. It's the Stockholm Syndrome of buyers. Now, neglecting probability. This is the one where we don't think twice about getting into a car going for a drive, but many of us are kind of spooked about getting onto an airplane and flying at 35,000 feet. Flying is completely unnatural. And on top of that, when we're flying, we're in somebody else's hands. We're not the one controlling it. Yet we know statistically you have a 1 in 84 chance of dying in a vehicular accident in a car, as opposed to a 1 in 5,000 chance of dying in a plane crash. Actually higher, probably 1 in 20,000. How long has it been since we've had an air crash that somebody died that you know of? It's been ages. Sometimes years, 2 or 3 years go by without that happening. Somebody dies in a car crash every bloody day. So we neglect the probabilities because, again, we think that if we're in control, we're somehow safer. But statistically, we're not. It's a probability neglect, our inability to properly grasp a proper sense of peril and risk. The same thing sort of happened after 9/11 back in 2001, when people all over the country were terrified that suddenly their little dam in their quiet neighborhood might be threatened by a terrorist attack. Nobody was. There weren't any more terrorist attacks because the probability was ridiculous. They weren't going to attack. They did a major attack on New York City. They're not going to attack a dam in Peoria, you know. Now, then there's the observational selection bias. This is the effect of suddenly noticing things that we didn't notice before. And then we presume that the frequency has increased. For instance, say you buy a new car and suddenly you see the same car everywhere. Pregnant women, they become pregnant and suddenly they notice there are a lot of other pregnant women. It could be a number, like the number 23 or a song. It's not that these things are appearing more frequently. It's just that we've selected that thing in our head and we notice it more often. Now, most people don't notice this as a bias, and we actually believe this is happening with increased frequency, but it's a cognitive bias, and it contributes to the feeling that the appearance of certain things or events couldn't possibly be a coincidence, even though it is. I had a couple friends that I pulled this on them so many times when they'd discuss something wild, and I'd say, you know what they call that? And this, I did this at least 3 times with them, a coincidence. And that was just dashing. They wanted it to be special, but it was just a coincidence. Now, status quo bias. We tend to be apprehensive of change, which leads us to make choices that guarantee that things remain the same or change as little as possible. Status quo is, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. It's our natural conservatism in ourselves. That's probably why the United States has always had problems getting universal health care, despite the fact that if you ask people individually, they all are, they support the idea of this kind of reform, but actually doing something about it, we think it's not broken as it is. Except that we pay more than anybody else in the world for our health care. We're being ripped off constantly, and we put up with it because that's the status quo. It's the same thing dealing with our congressmen, our politicians. They are doing a ridiculously bad job. They should be thrown out of office. We hate them. We have no respect for them. We don't trust them, yet the same bastard assholes get reelected over and over again because it's the status quo. Good God, that's stupid. Then there's the negativity bias. We pay more attention to bad news. Social scientists theorize that it's on account of our selective attention and that we perceive negative news as being more important or profound than positive news. We also tend to give more credibility to bad news because we're suspicious or bored of proclamations to the contrary. Heeding bad news may be more adaptive than ignoring good news. Today, we run the risk of dwelling on negativity at the expense of genuinely good news. Crime, violence, war, other injustices in this world are actually declining. Yet you wouldn't know that based on what the media tells you, based on the fear-mongering of Fox News and conservatives. They want to tell you that things are getting worse all the time, worse and worse and worse. That asshole, Mike Huckabee, despicable bastard that he is, says, we don't have a gun problem, we have a sin problem. There's no more sin. It's the guns, idiot, you moron. It's the fact that guns are so easy that we have so many gun deaths. They're so easy to get. And yet, of course, no, don't blame the cause of the trouble. We have to put the blame somewhere else. It's inside our souls or something. We don't believe in God. Well, there is no God. Since there isn't a God, you're a moron for saying there is. Then we get the bandwagon effect, which is about us going with the flow of a crowd. When the masses start to pick a winner or a favorite, we jump into groupthink, hive mind. Doesn't have to be a large crowd. It could be a small group. It could just be two or three people. But it's conformity, and it's a bandwagon effect. This is what religion does to people. When people think they all worship the same fantasy god, therefore anybody who tells them to think differently, that becomes evil. And it's a bandwagon, you know. Then again, as individuals trapped inside our own minds, it's often difficult for us to project outside of our mind. We tend to assume that most people think just like we do. This is called the projection bias. It's a cognitive shortcoming. We tend to believe that they not only think like us, they agree with us. They don't agree with us. There is this exaggerated confidence that, well, I myself had this exaggerated confidence that Barack Obama, and I was saying this back as far as 2011, Mitt Romney was going to be the nominee against Barack Obama for a second term, and that Mitt Romney was going to lose. If you go back to my weekly news and reviews, you will hear me state this over and over and over again many, many times. Now, in the last few days of the election, when the prognosticators were starting to give credit to the idea that Romney was starting to get some attention with the voters, that began to, you know, it affected me. It affected me, my own projection bias. Oh, my God, I may have been wrong, except that I wasn't. I was never wrong. The American public supported Barack Obama. Now, it could have been wrong. I could have been wrong, you know. But we weren't, fortunately. But what we did was a projection bias. And then there's the current moment bias. It's very difficult to imagine ourselves in the future and alter our behavior. It's like cigarette smoking or cocaine addiction or something like that. Both of those problems I had. I was a cocaine addict for many years. I found it impossible to stop buying cocaine. Yet one time I said no, and that was 10 years ago, and I haven't bought cocaine since then. I smoked cigarettes for 37 years. I tried to stop smoking cigarettes 1,000 times, literally. On September 25th of 2012, I said, I don't want any more cigarettes, and I haven't smoked any since. So it is possible to change, but you just have to do it. But the thing is, we're stuck in this bias that where we are right now is we can't change this. This is the same thing, you know, with the gun control effect. People are saying, it's impossible to change this. The criminals are still going to have the guns. Hey, if you take the guns away, if you say it's impossible for them to get guns, maybe that won't change things today, tomorrow, or next month. But 20 years from now, it'll be different. Like the bloody lead paint. Back in the 70s, people were saying, oh, come on, you know, lead paint, that's not going to cause people to be crazy. 2012, now we're seeing that taking the lead out of paint, we're having an effect of lowering crime rates. So, yeah, The current moment may be difficult to get through, but if you think of the future, it's possible to change. The anchoring effect is the last cognitive bias that I'm going to discuss today. It's the tendency we have to compare and contrast only a limited set of items. We fixate on a value or a number that in turn gets compared to everything else. The classic example is an item at the store that's on sale. We see and value the difference in price, but not the price itself. In other words, we say, oh, well, this saves me $20, but it still costs $150, you know. We look for one good, but we miss a larger issue. We tend to pick the middle option most of the time. This is why restaurant menus feature expensive entrees, but also include more reasonably priced ones, because then we're given a choice, and we tend to go for the not too expensive, not too cheap. We tend to anchor ourselves in the middle. So, anchoring effect, current moment bias, projection bias, bandwagon effect, negativity bias, status quo bias, observational selection bias, neglecting probability, post-purchase rationalization, gambler's fallacy, in-group bias, confirmation bias. Hopefully, I'm giving you something to think about, so maybe you can see things differently. Maybe we can change. This is DJ Bennett for KillRadio.org. Thanks for listening.